Hello and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Murat. This is our 22nd study in the book of Exodus. And we come today to Exodus chapter 31, and we'll look at the last verse, and that is verse 18. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessing to the word that we are about to read. In Jesus' name, amen. Exodus 31:18. And when he had made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he that is God gave Moses two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, written with the finger of God. And then chapter 32, verse 1. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, Come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. They panic after not seeing their human leader Moses for 40 days. They would not have panicked if they would have remembered that God is the one who saved them from Egypt. God is the one who parted the Red Sea, who fed them manna, and shook the mountain with his presence. They are looking too much to their human leader, and not enough to God. Verse 2. And Aaron said to them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Then they said, This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Aaron gives into the people's ungodly desires, because his desire evidently was to be popular, and that desire to be popular is stronger than his desire to please God. 5. So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Then they rose early the next day, offered burnt offerings, and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. It began with idolatry, and it has led to immorality. Aaron's lack of courage and his moral failure has led to moral chaos among the people. 7. And the Lord said to Moses, Go, get down, for your people whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. Notice how God disowned the Israelites here. It is as if God is saying, My people do not worship golden calves. They worship me. They are your people, Moses. They are your people, not mine. 8. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molded calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. They commit spiritual adultery against God with their idolatry. And so the marriage, as it were, is broken. And so is the covenant. They are no longer worthy of God's protection, which was his end of the deal. They broke their end of the deal, so as it stands, God is no longer on their side. I should say, they are no longer on God's side. 9. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. They are stubborn, says God. The Israelites are like a stubborn mule, which will not do the will of its master who feeds and cares for it. 10. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation. God says it is time for the Israelites to see the other side of me. They have seen my kindness. Now they will see my wrath. Now, many people, if they were Moses, would probably say, good idea, Lord, because I'm sick of them also. Look at verse 11. Then Moses pleaded with the Lord his God and said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Moses says, Lord, what you are talking about doing here just doesn't seem right. Now, lesson, without being angry or rude, we should be honest with God in our prayers. Tell him what's on your mind. And that's what Moses does. Verse 12. Why should the Egyptians speak and say, he brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Moses says, think of your reputation, God. Think of your reputation. In other words, do not spare them because of them. Spare them because of you. You know, if you destroy them, then the Egyptians won't think that you have what it takes to get them into the land you promised them. 13. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants to whom you swore by your own self, and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven. And all this land that I have spoken of, I give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. Moses prays the word of God back to God. Moses prayed, God, you promised. It is your word and your reputation that is at stake here. 14. So the Lord relented from the harm which he said he would do to his people. And I really don't want to overlook Moses here. He really put God before himself in this prayer. Think about it. Moses could have been freed from being the leader of that rebellious bunch. He could have retired and had a nice, normal life. But it was his love for God that compelled him to pray for what was best for God instead of what would have been comfortable for him. 15. And Moses turned and went down from the mountain, and the two tablets of the testimony were in his hand. The tablets were written on both sides, on the one side and on the other. They were written. Back then, the law was written on stone. If you are a Christian, it is written on your heart. In other words, you want to obey God if you have really received Christ. Look at verse 16. Now the tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. Now, there are many good reasons for children to learn how to read and write, but none more important than that it follows the pattern set by God, who not only reads, but writes. Not only that, if you can't read, you can't read God's word, which means that you must always take someone else's word for it, and that's not good. 17. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. Remember, Joshua had not been with Moses, so he didn't know about Israel's sin. 18. But he said, it is not the noise of the shout of victory, nor the noise of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing I hear. It was a wild party that Joshua was hearing. Verse 19. So it was, as soon as he came near the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. Moses' anger became hot, and he cast the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. This was righteous indignation on the part of Moses. He smashed the commandments of God because that is what the Hebrews did with their sin. 20. Then he took the calf, which they had made, burnt it in the fire, and ground it to powder. And he scattered it on the water and made the children of Israel drink it. This reminds me of the time that Jesus went into the temple and drove out all the merchants who had turned his house into something that looked like the midway at the fair. Moses got angry. Jesus got angry. And I would not give 2 cents for any preacher who never gets angry, but is always mild and always mellow. Man, this world is too rotten to be mild and mellow all the time. The Bible says that God is angry with the wicked every day. 21. And Moses said to Aaron, "What did this people do to you that you have brought so great a sin upon them?" Everyone is responsible for their own sin. However, people in position of spiritual authority like Aaron will answer for their sins and in part for any ungodly influence that they might have had on others. Verse 22. So Aaron said, "Do not let the anger of my Lord become hot. You know that the people, they are set on evil." Well, they are prone to evil. That's true. But Aaron wasn't obliged to fulfill their evil wishes. So Aaron might as well just stop with the excuses and admit that he was wrong. 23. For they said to me, "Make us gods that shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." Aaron continues to try to weasel out of this. He's saying, "Moses, it's kind of your fault because you were gone so long." Verse 24. And I said to them, "Whoever has any gold, let them break it off." So they gave it to me, and I cast it into the fire, and this calf came out. Now, if Moses was, let's say, 3 years old, he might actually buy that story. You know, I want to say, give it up, Aaron, because you've just added lying to your list of sins. 25. Now when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, for Aaron had not restrained them, to their shame among their enemies. Yeah, they looked like fools to the unsaved people around them. The heathen, no doubt, had a wonderful time watching God's people act like a bunch of immoral pagans. 26. Then Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, "Whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him. And he said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let every man put his sword on his side and go in and out from entrance to entrance throughout the camp, and let every man kill his brother, every man his companion, and every man his neighbor." The innocent were commanded to execute the guilty. Israel had become a laughingstock to the heathen, and that reflected badly on God. The Lord's holiness and his hatred for sin had to be confirmed. He could not let these people get away with their sin. 28. So the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. There was no joy in any of this. They had to die. God's justice had to be carried out, and the Levites were the one who did it. 29. Then Moses said, "Consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, that he may bestow on you a blessing this day. For every man has opposed his son and his brother. The family of Levi put God before their feelings and before their fellow Israelites when they executed the guilty ones. You know, our relationship with God must be more important than our relationship with anyone else. We'll pick up our study in verse 30 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.